Okay.
Rehearsal.
So, Mike, can you start by telling us your full name, your date of birth, and where you were born, please?
Okay. Michael Derriaz was born in October 1958 in Liverpool, and I left the school in 1977.
Great, thank you. Yeah, and then just follow on with any memories from Blue Coat.
What were your main
impressions? Well, yeah, it was. I think the school was in transition because Peter Arnold Craft had become the headmaster in 1968, and this was a time when Liverpool's schools had gone just switched over from the grammar school secondary modern system to comprehensive education. So the traditional grammar schools in the city, like Liverpool Institute, Quarry Bank High School, they had all gone comprehensive. And I think this left a bit of a gap in the market for people wanting a sort of grammar school style education. So that's what, when Arnold Craft arrived, he was going to change the school into more of an academic school. And I came along, I joined the school 2 years after he'd started at the school. So it was still in development, you would say, as an academically oriented school. So one of my first memories is that the older boys in the school seemed very rough. They were quite aggressive and not very academically inclined. So we had, for example, sixth formers and prefects who were not probably going to university, and we're used to running the school by punching and kicking the younger boys, you know. and those of us in the lower forms, we were the ones who were supposed to get lots and lots of O-levels and do very well, you know. But these older boys weren't quite the same, you know, weren't in the same mould, really, as we were.
So did the atmosphere then change over the years as that sort of older group phased out and left?
Yes, it gradually became much more that the whole aim of the school was to do your exams, to do very well, and to go to university, and if possible, to a good university or to be a doctor or something like that, you know.
And I guess your parents were ambitious for you, and you yourself expected to go to university, is that correct?
Yeah, I was one of the only people in my class, I think, whose parents had themselves been to university, because my mother was a teacher and my father was a scientist. But that was very, very unusual generally at the time, I think, because in the previous generation, very few people, very few parents had university education.
Yeah.
So for a lot of the parents, it was this is the big chance to send our son to university. My parents were a bit more maybe just relaxed about it. They said, well, I suppose you will. You know, I think they thought, you know, that it was a natural thing to do, you know.
So you went to university, I take it. Is that correct?
Yeah. I went to Oxford.
You went to Oxford. What did you read?
I read English literature, which was what I really wanted to do, and I loved it. It was very good.
And did you go into an academic career? What has been your career?
No, after that, it was a somewhat unusual choice. I joined the civil service as a tax inspector when I graduated from Oxford, and from that I learned all about tax, and then I became a tax consultant with Ernst & Young, one of the biggest accountancy firms. And from there, I was offered a job by one of my clients. I became the head of the tax department at BNP Paribas, which was the largest bank in Europe at the time. So I ended up working for an investment bank as a head of department in an investment bank.
So where do you live now?
I live in Richmond in Surrey.
Right.
But I quit the investment banking world about 7 years ago to set up a charity, and this is also part of the Blue Coat story in a way, because when I left the school, I didn't go straight to university. I wanted to have a gap year, so I took myself off to Kenya. I found there was an opportunity to go to Kenya and teach in a school in Kenya. So a few weeks after I'd been a pupil at Blue Coat, I was a teacher in a school in Kenya, and I stayed there for 12 months. And so the charity that I set up five or 10 years ago is oriented to helping people in that particular region of Kenya where I was working.
That's marvellous. So if we could go back to Blue Coat, you say that Peter Arnold Craft was a reformatory head teacher.
Yeah.
Could you tell us a bit more about him and the impact that he had on you and the school?
Well, he was strict, but he was also ferociously intelligent, and he set very high and demanding standards, both in terms of discipline and in terms of academic performance. And I think possibly the teachers felt this as much as we did, because I believe that he kicked out a lot of the teachers, or tried to kick out a lot of the teachers when he arrived. Of course, it's quite difficult to remove a teacher then and now, you know, but he just said to some of them, well, I don't think you're going to fit, sort of thing. A lot of them left, and he recruited young, keen people who would sort of do the sort of things he wanted to do. And he made it clear that we were there to work and do well, and he wasn't going to tolerate any nonsense. And, you know, he believed in corporal punishment and things like that, you know, and sometimes he would say quite cheerfully to us, well, you know, anyone who does that, I'll be sent to my office and I will beat them. You know, so, not the sort of thing that is possibly expected these days.
Did you suffer this ignominy yourself at all?
Oh, absolutely not, no. But he was a terrifying man. And interestingly, when he died a few years ago, I went to his memorial service in the school chapel, and his deputy, John Holt, gave the eulogy. And I was really, Mr. Holt was quite a frightening man too, but I was interested to know that John Holt turned out to have been quite frightened of him as well.
Was Arnold Kraft a visible presence in the school? Was he sort of out in the corridors and that kind of thing?
Well, put it like this, when he was, you knew about it. I mean, it was, you know, quite a chill. And actually, I'll tell you a story about when I went to Oxford, because Arnold Kraft had a particular connection with University College Oxford. And the reason was that he had been a history teacher at a school in Oxford as his first job.
At Magdalen School, I believe.
Magdalen College School, yes. And when he was at Magdalen College School, his star pupil was a little boy called Leslie Mitchell. And Leslie Mitchell had gone on to become a history don at University College Oxford. In fact, he was the dean of the college. And so when Arnold Kraft wanted to get boys interested in going to Oxford, he'd send them off for a visit to meet Leslie Mitchell, who would show them around, you see. So I was shown around the college by Leslie Mitchell, and then I decided I would like to apply there, and that's where I ended up, although not doing history, you know, but doing English literature instead. But because Leslie Mitchell knew that I had this connection, that we'd had this, you know, the same teacher effectively, he always referred to Peter Arnold Kraft as God. around the college, so in the bar or whatever, he'd say, Michael, have you heard of God recently? Because he found him a very imposing and dominating presence as well, evidently.
I believe he'd been in the RAF during the war. I'm not sure exactly in what capacity, but that had probably also toughened him up too.
Yes, I'm not sure, because he was very, very young. I think he was only 18 in 1944, so I'm not sure whether he actually did any flying or in active service or what. I don't know about that.
Can you tell us also about the atmosphere of the school? Did you enjoy it? Was it a good time for you?
It was quite